It is good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Again, God has absolutely blessed us. He's given us a beautiful Lord's Day, a day to gather before Him as His people. We're grateful to be here. And to the visitors among us, thank you for being here. It is a privilege. We believe it's a privilege that you chose to be here with us, and I pray that you are encouraged. And if you have any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask. Now, but before I get into the lesson, just a couple things here. Let's make sure we thank Brother Ed for overseeing Vacation Bible School. It went really well. It was a great Vacation Bible School. And if you haven't had a chance, you can still see some of the decorations down the hall for the classrooms. I hope we kind of keep that up in there for a while. They did such a great job. I wouldn't mind having those decorations up for a little bit anyways. Just, I tell you what, if you take them down, just leave the stuff in my door there. Just leave that there. That's what we did last year. It was there all year until they redecorated, so let's at least leave it all at my door. And I don't mind the other stuff for quite a while. They did a great job. Everyone did. Great Vacation Bible School. We're truly blessed to have the desire, willingness, and talent to do that. Also, I want to throw this out there. Of course, we're going to have the lesson that we're going to have right now. But I ask you, encourage you to come back this evening. In some ways, it's part two to this lesson here. And so please consider that. And the title of this evening's lesson is When Strong Men Fall. So I encourage you to be a part of that. And of course, happy Father's Day to the fathers among us. We're very grateful for godly fathers and their impact and their example. So, happy Father's Day. There's a story told about a father and a young child on a Sunday morning in the living room. The child's playing on the ground and dad's in his chair reading the morning newspaper when he realizes what time it is. Oh, son, you got to get ready for Sunday school. Your mom's going to be ready. You know, you got to hurry up and get ready. The little boy's like, well, I don't want to go. No, you got to get ready. Sunday school's good for you. And the boy asked, well, Daddy, are you going to go to Sunday school? No, just you and your mom. You got to get ready. And the boy asked the father, when you were a little boy, did you go to Sunday school? And the father, in a very prideful way, said, oh, yeah, I used to always go to Sunday school. And so the little boy gets up, and as he's leaving the room, the father heard the little boy mumble, yeah, it'll do me a lot of good also. Think about the example, fathers, that you're leaving for your children, because they're watching. They're absolutely watching and learning. And of course, you can do everything right, properly, and they're going to grow up and have free will and make their choices. But you can leave them a good heart. And if they got the good heart, I believe when it's time for them to seek the truth, they will come to the Lord or come back. And so our lesson this morning, if you consider our study text, Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2 mainly, right? We read in there of a wonderful example of a godly mother, Mary, and we looked at her example on Mother's Day. And so we're going to look at the example of Joseph this morning. You see, God needed, desired, wanted godly parents for Jesus. For his only begotten son to come in this world, he desired godly parents. You know, years ago, and in my mind, this is a circumstance I created, so therefore I wouldn't admit watching this certain movie. But I do remember the movie. And it was, the title was something like, Who Will Raise My Children? And it's one of those cheesy Hallmark, made-for-TV kind of movies that fellas you would never admit in a million years watching. So the scenario I made in my mind is I must have been sick on the couch and I couldn't find the remote. I couldn't move. Right? That's the only reason I watch this movie. But the premise of the movie, and I remember this, was, a husband and wife had several children, four, five, six children. Well, the mom, the wife, found out that she was going to die. And only had about a year to live or something like that. And so the whole premise of the movie was her trying to find her own replacement. Right? She worried about who's going to take care of my husband and my children. He can't do it on his own. And that was the whole premise of the movie. And that really stuck with me. I've always remembered that. And, it leads me to thinking about the birth of Jesus, right? Just like that woman in that movie loved her children so much that, she wanted to personally choose who would care for them and not leave it to chance. So in the same way, God looked for parents to raise his beloved only begotten son, right? And he searched the earth and he found a young girl betrothed to be married. Of whom the Bible says she found favor with God. She was a choice young lady or a God-fearing young lady. Right? But note, God also went looking for a father. Right? He called Mary and Joseph as a couple together. And here's a point of this. God clearly demonstrates, of course, that the role of father is an important one. Fathers not only are needed for the physical act of conceiving, fathers are needed to raise children in the way that God wants them to be raised. Right? But this child here, conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit, right? A miracle took place. There was no need for a man to be involved in the conception, but a man was still needed for the role of father. Right, in the childhood of Jesus. Now, having said that, let me say this to the single parents here this morning. Please don't despair that somehow your children are beyond hope because their father's gone or their mother's gone. That's just not the case. Right? God is so gracious. Not only is this your family, but God tells us in his word, Psalm 27, verse 10, though my father and mother forsake me, yet the Lord will take me up. So I want you to remember that. Right? But nevertheless, of course, the normal pattern is for the child to be raised with father and mother. Right? And those single parents will tell you that there's multiple difficulties. And when there's one parent gone, single parents, we salute you. But understand, this is your family and God will not forsake you. But we do know it's difficult to do it like that. But the preferred way that God has established is father and mother to raise a child. And so the Bible tells us Joseph was chosen. And just as God had looked for a godly young woman to bring forth the child, he also looked for a godly man to be a father. And so Joseph is an inspiring model for fatherhood. And so today, as we honor fathers, the godly fathers among us, we look at this biblical example of Joseph. So just three main points this morning, brief points, to look at this example and make application of that and take that with us this morning. So I want you to know, number one, Joseph was a loving man, a loving father. Scripture draws a picture for us of a wonderfully affectionate man, right? And we can see this firstly in his relationship with Mary. Right? He was loving to his soon-to-be wife, Mary. Now, they were betrothed, and back in that time, in that culture, that still held the weight of marriage, by the way. A betrothal did. And so what we had here in our scripture reading, if you look again, just look at verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So Joseph, he finds out Mary's pregnant. Now, he hasn't had a revelation yet how she got pregnant. So think about that if you were in his shoes, right? Think about, he's betrothed to this beautiful young woman, had plans for the future, and then he finds out she's pregnant. newly pregnant, and you don't know who the father is, but you can rule out one person yourself. How would that make you feel? Angry, betrayed, right? The penalty for adultery back then and under the old law was being stoned to death. Now, Joseph would have been obligated to divorce her, right? And this would have put Mary to public shame and humiliation. But even before God spoke to Joseph and told him that she is conceived of the Holy Spirit, right? The Bible says he was minded to put her away secretly, right? Joseph loved Mary so much, he wanted what was best for her in her situation, even when he didn't even know the whole situation. So I think we can infer from that Joseph was a kind man. He loved Mary, and it's a love based on commitment. Right? The Bible tells us that we must love our wives, right, with all that we have. Ephesians 5, verse 25, love here is an agape love. It's a sacrificial love. It's doing what's best for the other. And the example is that we must love our wives sacrificially, unconditionally, right? Even as Christ has loved the church and laid down his life for it. So Joseph was a loving man toward Mary, but we also see he was a loving man in his relationship with Jesus. Right? When the child came along, the child he had not conceived, right? You don't bring an attitude of, well, this boy isn't my flesh and blood. There doesn't seem to be any resentment or indifference toward him. No lack of fatherly love at all. Jesus was adopted by Joseph, and he treated him as one of his own. Right? He adopted this one that the rest of the world would go on to reject. You know, today, by contrast, there are men who are prepared to abdicate their role as father. Right? Even turn against their own flesh and blood. You know what the Bible says? 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Joseph was a loving man, and that's made very clear. He loved his wife and he loved Jesus. Number two this morning, Joseph was a devout man. He was a devout father. And we read through the events and the stories, especially in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2. Right, here's a man who obeyed God. God said, take Mary as your wife, and he did. Right, Jesus says, well, you know the story. Arise and take him to Egypt. Right, Herod's going to try to kill him, you know, go. And what did he do? He went. And I'm sure that wasn't easy, right? You know, what prospects did he have in Egypt? Probably a whole lot less than he did at home. But God said it, and he did it. And of course, after a period of time, you go into chapter 2, God said, go back to Israel, and he did. He immediately obeyed. He was a man of faith, giving God his faith. Right, and it takes faith to pack up everything you own and move to a foreign country without much prospect. To us fathers here this morning, right, your faith will speak to your children, so raise them in an environment of faith towards God. I read a story a while back about a farmer who had a bumper crop, a very badly needed bumper crop. The family would absolutely need that bumper crop to pay off past debts and to hopefully get his family through for another year. And so right before harvest time, a freak storm came through, a lot of hail, and absolutely destroyed the entire crop. All of it's gone. And so a boy was standing there with his father looking at this destroyed crop. And this young boy, when he grew up into manhood, he wrote about this.
He said he stood there with his father looking at this destroyed crop, and he was just waiting for his father to start yelling and screaming and cursing in despair. But he said his father didn't do that. But rather, he said his father bowed his head and began to softly sing, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee." And so when this young boy was a man, he said that was the most powerful sermon that he had ever heard. His father had shown him his faith, real faith, when it mattered the most. What a great example. Joseph was leaning on God. He was a man of faith, right? He was a man who was faithful in his spiritual duty. He set an example for his family, going to the temple, Luke chapter 2, verse 41, every year attending the feast, right? He was regular in going to God's house. That's just who he was. Remember that story I opened with? Right? The dad who was leaving a poor spiritual example for his child. Right? Children are watching our faithfulness. Now they're going to watch us fall down. They're going to watch us make mistakes. We're going to do stupid stuff. Right? We're not going to live up to our own desires that we have for our children. But in the end, if they see you faithful, they're going to learn from that. And you're going to help establish a good heart for when they're ready to do what's right. Our children are watching. So Joseph was a loving man, a loving father toward his wife, toward his son, his whole family. Joseph was a devout father, but finally, number three this morning, I want us to note here that Joseph was a wise father. Now, I want you to think about this, if you want to turn over to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. I believe Joseph was wise because he lived as one, it seems, who redeemed the time. And by all accounts, it seems like Joseph had a short life, or a shortened life, because we don't read of him much after Jesus' childhood. And of course, at the cross, in the book of John, Jesus says to John, "Behold your mother," right? And to John, "Behold," or to her, "Behold your son." And we read John took her home from that time forward. Right? So by then, Joseph was gone. So to me, it seems like he redeemed the time that God had given him where he had faithful children. James and Jude, right, wrote books of the Bible. James, if you look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 19, right, he was a faithful member of the church. You know, they were disciples of Jesus. And Joseph absolutely had his hand in that. Right? So Jesus wasn't the only child that he had. Maybe other daughters, we just don't know. But Joseph raised his children in the ways of the Lord. Right? He raised them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, 4. And contextually, that goes with chapter 5, 15 and 16. "See then that you walk circumspectly or wise, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." What a great example. What a powerful example we learn from Joseph. So by way of conclusion this morning, understand this, fathers. We don't know how much time that we have. We don't know how much time we have left with our children. We don't know. Maybe a year, maybe a month, maybe 5, 10, we just don't know. What are you doing to be a good example for them? What can you learn from the life of Joseph to help you? Right? Even, especially if you failed in the past. Right? Failures in the past do not have to be an anchor. Use them as a rudder. Right? To guide you forward. Right? So I've messed up, I've fallen short, and I'm going to do my best from this point forward. Right? What great example we learn from Joseph. Right? Are we redeeming the time? Right? What are you providing for your family? Now, don't fall under the trap of, "Well, I bring a paycheck home every week and there's food on that table. I've done my duty." What about other provisions? What about spiritual provisions? What are you providing for your family?
love, guidance, affection, godly example, godly counsel, laughter, warmth? Right? Are you providing those things? Right? We must provide for our own, so let's be challenged in that, learn from the example of Joseph. Right? He was a loving, devoted, and wise father. Right? And this is our greatest duty here on this earth, of course, provide physically, but more importantly, provide spiritually. You know, on the day of judgment, of course, those who are in Christ are going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, come and enter my rest." We also know on the day of judgment, those who aren't prepared, those who know not God and have not obeyed the gospel, are going to hear such things as, "Depart from me, I don't know." Right? And those will be cast into that lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, as bad as that will be for some, I want you to think fathers right now. What a terrible thought to be cast into the eternal lake of fire, never ending, weeping, gnashing of teeth. How terrible that is, and the Bible gives us such grave imagery. To me, there can only be one thing worse than that, is being cast into that pit, that lake of fire. There's only one thing worse than that, is to then hear words like, "Dad, is that you?" Can you imagine the pain? Can you imagine the pain? We don't have to fear that if we are in Christ. This morning, if you're subject to the gospel invitation, you need to put on Christ in baptism. Let's take care of that. If you have done that, you've fallen away, and you're ready to start over, to be reconciled to God, let us help you with that. Let us pray for you, pray with you. If you just need encouragement, let us show you the love of Christ. If you have need, let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.